right. So we started last week. So if you missed last week, we began talking about this idea of your kingdom come. And we began last week, we talked about this idea that God, what did God intend for creation? When God created all the stuff, right? He created all the things. He created humans, and he created all the stuff that we see. And he said this, he gave the command to go into all the earth and fill it. Well, fill it with the question that we asked last week was fill it with what? Just people? No, the idea is to fill it with himself. To fill it and make the world look like him. To make, so go into the world and build build relationships. Build businesses, dare I say. Dare I say, build governments. And run and do it. Go do it. Go fill the earth. And do it. And you know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you Legos. To build it with. And you can be a master builder. If you know, you know. And he said, I want you to build it. I want you to go build stuff. Right? I want you to build things. And life. Right? And build homes. That was not quite built, finished yet. But he said, build homes. Julie, will you help me come up? Come up here. And help me build this home.
That's right.
Master. This is my wife. She actually, you know how it is. She is the master builder, actually. And so, it was interesting.
Hear this noise. It brings back childhood.
It does. Right, how many of y'all just took you way back?
Yes.
How many of you just went ouch because you just remembered stepping on one of those things in the middle of the night? Because as they say, it's like stepping on razor blades when you step on a Lego in the middle of the night. But he said, go and build. And build. And, okay, and actually, Julie built all of those things, so just saying. And just go ahead, go build. And they started building together. And then the enemy came in, and he says, you know what? God's holding out on you. He's holding out on you. You know what you need? Because those Legos aren't going to build a good life. What you need is to add Play-Doh into your Legos.
Don't do it.
Because it's mortar, right? Right? And the enemy said, hey, said to the man, and to the woman, use these Legos, use this Play-Doh, and it'll be so much better. And they started building. And they began to build and build with the Legos. And the Play-Doh. Oh, you need some more Play-Doh. Of course. Of course. This is going to make it better. That's what the guy told us.
That's what the serpent told us.
That's what the serpent told us. Of course you listen to
and
serpents.
He knows.
Of course, evidently. And he said, build it. Build and build and build more.
Okay.
Wait, hang on. You need Play-Doh because it's not sticking together. And what God meant was to build this, and we built this. Yeah. With our relationships, he meant it to look like this, and we turned it into this. Is it any wonder why the first thing that happens in a relationship we see is a murder? And the pride and the jealousy. Yeah, you can take it down there and display. But he gave us, God gave us all the Legos.
Can everybody see that?
We good? So we entered in God's good world, and God gave us all the tools, and evidently they weren't enough for us. So we decided that we could do it better on our own, that God was holding out on us. God didn't want us having any fun. So he entered in his Legos. And then we wonder why our world is in the position that it's in. Where families are broken. Marriages fall apart. Addiction. People trying to fill all of the things to find life outside of God. And when we wanted to build it like this, the enemy caused us to build it like this. See, when sin crept into the world, it destroyed everything. Selfishness now ruled. Oppression. War. Others, viewing others as less than ourselves. Our world is full of that in history. And in this world of selfishness and me first, me. I don't have time to help anybody else because I'm trying to improve my brand and my own person. I don't have time to live to be a blessing for my family because I gotta have. I want my things and I want them my way. And so we see that how much that the Plato has infiltrated our world. Haven't we? We see it, right? In the big arenas and in the everyday life arenas. We see it. Then this guy comes on the scene named Jesus. And he flips everything on its ear. He says things like this in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. He's reminding us of how to build with Legos. And he calls it the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25, Jesus called them over and he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them. And those in high position act as tyrants over them. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to be great, and whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew chapter 23, a couple of chapters down, he says this in verse 11. He said, "The greatest among you will be your servant. He who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And then it happens in Jesus' own ranks and his own disciples. It's about to get really real here. So it says this in Mark chapter 9 and verse 33, going into verse 37. Little story about here. It says, "Then they came to Capernaum, and when they were in the house, he asked them," this is not good if you're sitting around, and Jesus says, "Hey, I got a question for you guys. What were y'all arguing about on the way?" Oops. But they were silent because they knew that they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Ouch. Like, it's almost like you go, "So Jesus heard that?" "Yeah." "Yep." "So sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone wants to be first, he must be last and the servant of all.' And he took a child and had them stand among them. And taking him into his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes a little child such as this in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" Caught. This idea of the kingdom. You know, what's interesting, it's not just that this is a child. You know, the thing about working and being with children, and see, when we interact with each other, sometimes there is an exchange. There can be an exchange. I befriend you, and you befriend me. I give to you, and if I need help to move, he's got a truck, And he helps me move. Sorry. I'm just kidding. He doesn't have a truck. No, he doesn't have a truck. Sorry, Dan.
No, you're all right. But I will help you.
Wow. But it's transactional. Many times our relationships with one another are transactional. But when Jesus talked about when you welcome a child, I mean, they make or look cute, make you feel good, but they have nothing to offer you except effort. And all the parents said amen. All the parents of babies and infants, you say a big amen. They are just receivers. Needy. So when Jesus says, whenever you welcome the little child, he's saying, hey, when you welcome people into your life that can't pay you back, that's the kingdom of God. When you give to somebody that can't return that back to you, this is the kingdom of God. And honestly, church, I feel like if I can be real honest here for a second, no, I'm actually not for a second, this whole message, but just right now, I'll be really pointed. As we've lost this message in the church. Because the message of the gospel, like you, right now you may be going, why aren't we talking about the kingdom of God? Why aren't we talking about forgiveness of sins? Why aren't we talking about, yeah, we'll get to that. But the Plato is the problem. Things outside this mindset is the problem. It's the reasons for wars. It's the reasons for relationship blow-ups. It's reasons for over-oppressive bosses and over-oppressive governments. Amen? It's the Plato. It's people trying to do it outside of God's ways. Whether that's morally, whether that's whatever. And we make a mess of it. But Jesus says, when it's not about me, it's about others. When Jesus says, when the Bible says that, and Jesus, and I think it's in the book of John, where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, right before that, he actually says, and Jesus would now show him the fullest extent of his love, was to serve. It's not just about me. It's not just about my way. See, this message of the kingdom of God is central to the gospel. You can't separate this idea of what the kingdom is supposed to look like, what the Legos we're supposed to build with is supposed to look like, from the gospel. The values of the kingdom are love. Is the number one, right? The way we love each other. Jesus didn't say that they will know you're my disciples because of the way you come to church. I can't believe the pastor just said that. You should come to church. You know why? Because you should love your brothers and sisters. It's central. Justice is central to the gospel, to the kingdom. Sticking up for those who can't speak for themselves is central to the gospel. Humility, others first, forgiveness, compassion, faith, all these things. I don't have time to dive into all of these things, but they're central. Unity, repentance. Those are the elements of this thing that God, that Jesus calls the kingdom. Jesus did say, welcome to Easter at Hope Church. Jesus did say that not all who call him Lord, Lord will enter. But those who do what Jesus, see, Jesus is not just calling us for forgiveness of sins. He's called us to a new life and a new way of doing things. He's called us to step out among people and be separate. And not just because we don't smoke and chew and drink and blah, 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 blah. No, it's the way we treat one another, way we live among one another, way we serve one another, way we carry ourselves with one another. It's the gospel. It's the kingdom of God. And the truth about a kingdom, here's the tricky thing about a kingdom that we Westerners don't like, is that with a kingdom, there is a king. We don't like kings. Matter of fact, my English friend, Paul, who's on my board. We got rid of our king in this country. Because if we don't like it, we want to vote him in and vote him out. I guess that's true with Jesus. Man, this is Easter, David. He said this is an upside down kingdom. Upside down kingdom. He said if you lose your life for the sake of the kingdom, you'll find it. You'll find it. This is a faith walk. Like, you realize, like, when I wake up in the morning, my first thought is, hey, how can I serve people today? I know you think I'm whatever you think of me, but I'm not that. I need some prayer time first, right? But it's an upside down kingdom. But it's by faith that I choose a life of service, a life of humility, a life of faith, a life of trust in God that's different from all the people that I see. And what the world says I should be like, but I live in this thing because I really believe that if I give my life away for the kingdom and his ways, I actually will find my life. And so after 34 years of living flat out for Jesus, I have found that to be true. My testimony is 34 years later, I go back to a Star Wars reference. Of course, if you know me, you know me. It's too late for me. Remember when Darth Vader told that to Luke? It's too late for me, son. How many of you remember that? Where's my Darth? Oh my goodness, I'm becoming more alone all the time. He says, it's too late for me, but I'm on the other side. Like, you don't even have to apologetic. You don't have to give me all the apologetics and tell me the proofs and all that. I know because I know. I know because I've lived it. I've known that when I've chosen God's way above my ways, my life is better. I know when I choose him, his ways. I actually live, if you were here a few weeks ago, the abundant life that Jesus has called us to live into. The more I live in a kingdom, I live in relationships, the better my relationships are. The more I live in a kingdom, finances, that I'm a generous person. I'm not a miser. The more I live in the kingdom principles, the more I'm blessed. Because he says it's better to give than receive. Generosity. The more I lay down my life for my wife and my family, the better my life, my wife, my family dynamics are. Jesus said, those who build their house. Remember the story of the man who built his house on the rock, and the person who built it on the sand, and then when the difficulties came in. You know what? I remember a few years ago, it dawned on me. Actually, I just read the text. And it was interesting because that's not just some ethereal, I built my house on Jesus. Somehow I just build, I don't know what that even looks like. If I build my house on Jesus, somehow my life will be solid. Actually, Jesus says it like this. Those who hear my words and do them are like a person who builds their house on the rock. It's not just an ethereal thing. It's building with the Jesus Legos. When I build with his stuff, I have a firm foundation. And when the difficulties rush in, the foundation is strong because I've built my life not on some ethereal religion. I've built my life on the ways of Jesus. And his ways sustain me. So what now? What if I just, and many sermons are like this. You're all terrible humans. Because as I sowed these things, you were like, I don't do that. I don't do that. As I was studying for this, I was like, I don't always do that. How many of y'all are with me? You know, I don't always do that. So many times, that's where our messages end. Yeah, you guys are all terrible. See you next week. But I got good news. I got good news. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Why do I have the trouble to live these things? It's because I am innately flawed as a person. I am not geared. I live in a Plato world. Sometimes my mind and my actions still speak Plato things. So what are we supposed to do? So glad you asked. Welcome to Easter Resurrection Sunday. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. We have been united with him in his likeness of his death, and we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Not one day, now. For we know that our old self was crucified. We know that the Plato was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by Plato might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. The power of the resurrection says you can live the life that Jesus asked you to live. You can live not by your own power, but it's Christ living within you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not me that's living, it's Christ in me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The Plato life has passed away. And see, the new has come. There is something that happened to you when you bow your knee to the living God through Jesus, when you bow your knee to the King of the kingdom and say, God, I choose to do it your way. I choose, God. I thank you that you paid the price for my Plato on the cross. Y'all are like, what in the world? I can't wait. I want this to burn in you. I want you to see this thing on the inside of you. But now you have been risen with Christ. Somehow, I wish I could just fully explain it. But the truth is somehow that you were transformed. The person that lived by your own sinful nature, the old Plato nature, that person was died. And you have a new person that lives on the inside of you. The power of God. How do you live this life that God has given you? You bow your knee in humility because now I know that when I humble myself before God, then am I lifted up. Then as I humble myself and go, God, today in this moment, God, I choose your way. Empower me, God, by your Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace. What is grace? It's nothing but his power to live out his ways. When we bow our knee in humility, you just have to live it out. God's power comes in you to help you come out of it and live the life that he actually intended you to live. You have been forgiven, yes. You've been adopted into the family of God, yes. And you've been remade. On the inside, the old person. And what many of us never heard is that you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. to live a life that you are unable to live on your own. Listen, I don't know. Let me be nice. I don't know what you think about what the gospel is. The gospel for you is that Jesus died and he was risen so that I can be forgiven of my sins. And one day I get to go be with him when I die. If that's yes. Yes, before you like get up and leave right now, like, you know, whatever. Yes, 100% truth. All of what I just said, true. And you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Like after the resurrection, the rest of the story is the Holy Spirit and his power that works within you. The scripture says it like this, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is his power that I, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the Plato so that I can live the life of the Spirit that God's called me to live. That God has given me power to live this life. That's why, listen, hear me. That's why if you don't bow your knee, hear me. Because people leave the faith because of what I'm going to say. Because they don't do what I'm going to say. When you bow your knee to the King, and he's not just something that you do once a week, once a month, once a year. When you bow your knee to the King, the gospel works. Abundant life works. When you play around and say, well, I'm going to bow my knee over here, but not really over here. I'll build like this over here, but this other place, I don't know. I think God's holding back from me. I'm going to introduce some little Play-Doh. And people say, I've tried that churchy thing and it doesn't work. That's okay. But listen, Jesus is calling us to be a part of his kingdom. You know, we were discussing in our men's group the other morning, and we were talking, there's a scripture in James that always messes with the, are you saved by faith and saved by works? Remember this, Kelly? Kelly, wave Kelly. Kelly's our men's director. He's awesome. I was like, who's slapping is his wife? Okay, excellent. Well done, by the way, well done. And we were talking about this. Are you saved by your works? Are you saved by your faith? Right, it's an age-old question. You know, in theological circles, it's like, is Paul right or is James right? You know, the arguments, right? Right? Actually, they're both right. Because James says, he says, I will show you my faith by my good deeds, by what I do. So our faith, if you're a member here, if you're a long-time attender, you've heard me say this a million times. Your faith should affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. Your faith should affect what you think, what you say, what you do. Right? And so we were talking about these things, and we were talking about like what does that look? Another favorite question is what does that look like? That's great, awesome. What does that look like? What does that scripture look like? And it was amazing because so we started a little discussion, and so we prayed at the end, and we said, well, we need to be about doing good works as followers of Jesus. We need to be about doing good works to show that our faith is real. So we did a very dangerous thing, and we prayed. God, give us an opportunity today. This is a true story. Just this Wednesday, give us an opportunity to allow us to live out our faith. So Kelly's leaving. He's leaving the Bible study. Actually, you were kind of late too, weren't you? You're in a hurry. You're in a hurry. You had to get gone. Not late. You're never. I mean, this guy. Just saying. So he's driving down the road and sees a guy stopped on the side of the road. And if I'm wrong, tell me. And then something on the inside, something, maybe the Spirit of God that helps us live out kingdom life, yeah, said, hey, why don't you, do you really believe this? Do you really believe this? The car is stalled in the middle of the road. Well, I got a place to go. I have things to do. What? No, no. What are you going to do in that moment? Either obey or you don't. So he obeyed, right? Turned around, stopped. Wasn't a big deal. But he stopped and helped him. I mean, it was a big deal. So then, where's Daniel? There's Daniel. So Daniel's driving home a little bit later in the afternoon. He actually helped us with an event here on Wednesday afternoon. And he was leaving, he was going home, and there was a big wreck right down the street from where he lives. Big, bad wreck. And I don't know if you, did you see it? Did you see the wreck, or was it right after? Oh, wow, okay. So right up on the scene. And it was bad, obviously bad. Well, the Holy Spirit was like, hey, you have a trauma bag right next to you. And so he stops, renders first aid to this person, and helps him on the side of the road. Was there with him till the paramedics got there, right? It's amazing. So then, now this is a little bit longer story. Then, a couple of weeks ago, I had this neighbor in my yard. My neighborhood. That's a whole nother thing. If you have a neighbor in your yard, and he won't leave, you need to call the police. You just go ahead. I'm just saying. Oh, well, sorry, Jesus. Who's my neighbor? Okay, whatever. See, we're all growing. So literally, as you know, and you're probably tired of hearing about, I got a new puppy, and I love my puppy. My puppy's amazing. And he is so cute. He's amazing. A little Apollo, or Jessica calls him Apollos from the Bible. We're walking down the road, and my neighbors, who are they're not churchgoers, they're not followers of Jesus, and they're walking down the road with their dog, and we see these guys all the time. I have a quasi relationship with this person. One of those, you know what I mean, in passing, my neighbor, I know who they are. Yeah, we always he always does all, when I drive by, he always goes like that. You know, that just, or he'll do the Superman thing, whatever. He'll go all kinds of stuff. He's that guy. He is so amazing. He's amazing. So I'm walking our dog, and he walks up, and he says, I'm proud walking my puppy. And he comes up and he's like, he goes, man, that puppy's grown. I go, yeah. That's amazing. Yep. Sure has. And you know what else he can do? And literally, I walk. And so he's like, well, all right, we got to go. You know, keep walking, blah, blah, blah. I got your size, the whole thing. And so we're walking, and the Holy Spirit speaks up on the inside of me. And says, so that whole interchange was about you? You know, he had a dog. I was like, well, my dog's like a puppy. Jesus. Jesus, you see, you know how cute my dog is. Their dog's kind of old. How many of you ever had a little conversation with God? Let me tell you why that was okay, God. So when we prayed, I thought of him. And I said, God, in that prayer, I said, God, give me another chance. Give me another chance. I'll do it right. Sure enough, I get home. Julie goes, let's go for a walk. I said, great, let's go for a walk. And I'm walking the dog, and I'm walking, and here he comes, him and his wife and his dog. And I'm with my dog. And so as I walk up to him, it's not about you, David. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, help me remember that dog's name. Help me remember that dog's name. Help me remember that dog's name. How many of y'all, this is like, you recognize this, right? And sure enough, I don't know if it meant anything to him. I don't even know if he even noticed before. But you know what I'm called to be? A light. You know what I'm called to be? If he knows, especially, guys, listen, when you're a pastor, like, I don't know how everybody in my neighborhood found out, but everybody in my neighborhood found out. And so, like, there's this expectation. Oh, my gosh, it's crazy. I am so flawed. And but I'm actually, so you're known, like, as a representative of Jesus. So for me, it matters. And for you, it should matter. And so when I made the whole conversation about him and their gorgeous, older, strong dog that was like 75 years old, that dog is, that's still walking the neighborhood, which is actually impressive. So we made it. It's all these things. Like, it's this idea that it's not about me. I am called to live a different kind of life. But it's not me who lives. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God helps us and moves us and directs us in the way we should go. And it's not a guilt and you're a terrible person direction. It is a nudging of the Holy Spirit that helps you walk this life out. But you're not alone. Jesus said, I didn't leave you. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you, to empower you to live this life that throughout the story of the Bible is proven that you are unable to do. The story of the Bible is simply this. From Genesis all the way to Jesus and the power and the Holy Spirit and a revelation is that you are not able to live to the standard that God calls you to live in. And you needed Jesus to come, die for you, raised to life so that you can be raised with him to walk in a newness of life. Amen. That's the gospel. It's not just your sins are forgiven. It's you've been given the power of the Holy Spirit within you to live out this life. How do I do that? I'm so glad you asked. Because for the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about living in the power of the Spirit. I'm going to talk about living in that power. Like this message of the Holy Spirit, for some of us, we grew up and there was the Father God and there was Jesus and there was this like ghostly figure that did something and I wasn't really sure what he did. But let me tell you, I believe that's a ploy of the enemy because he wants to rob you of the greatest power that's ever been given humanity to live out the kingdom life that God's called us to live. To bow our knee to the King and allow the Holy Spirit to live life through us. Amen. So that our light can so shine, like Jesus said, that they will see your good deeds and glorify God. Being a witness is not just telling everybody you're going to hell. Being a witness is living a life that pleases God among people who don't. And I'm not mad at them. I'm not angry at them. I'm just saying, Jesus invites you to this life. If you reject, that's up to you. But Jesus invites you to this life, this power of the Holy Spirit to live. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up. Thank you, God. Let's just pray while they come up. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you, God, for your help. Thank you, God, that you came, Jesus, died, and was risen. And not only that, you sent us the power of the Holy Spirit to live out this life you called us to live. God, I pray as we do this next song, as we worship you with this next song, God, I pray, God, that would you help us? God, would you speak to us by the impressions of the Holy Spirit to us? Draw us to yourself in Jesus' mighty name. Y'all can stand. We're going to stand together.